Let's get to St. John chapter 1 and read verse 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
We learn in the beginning was the Word. Was the Word. That Word was Jesus Christ. That Word was Son of God. And then we learn that in the beginning, that means Jesus Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. Nobody created Son, nobody created Father, nobody created Holy Spirit. They are from the beginning. That's what we learn. And then we learn Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Word of God. Today we are going to learn that the Word of God says the Word was God. So many people do not know that Word was God. As I said, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God we worship. When you say God the Son, Son is God. And many people do not know the Son is God. But now we are seeing here the Word was God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, please read.
Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Now here the Word of God is saying God was going to give them the sign. That sign was like impossible things God was going to do possible. He says, the virgin will bring forth a child, and that child will call Emmanuel. And we know that Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says, Emmanuel means what? God with us. Now, many people do not know. They say God came to this world and God took the form of man. God the Father did not come to this world. God the Father is the Spirit. St. John chapter 4, verse 24, he says, God is Spirit. So God is always in heaven, is in third heaven. God never came down. Now many people say, oh, God came and talked to Moses and God came and talked to Abraham. God never came down. Who came down? Jesus is the Son of God, talked to Abraham. That's why Jesus says, I am before Abraham. So, and when the God talked to the people in the Old Testament, God talked from the heaven, but he talked through his Son. And that's what we learned last week. The Word of God is the seed of God, and the Word of God is the Son of God. Now here we see God sent his Son, and that was the sign given to these Israeli people. And Jesus Christ already came 2,000 years ago. But they never believed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, St. John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, he came to his own, but they received him not. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he says, God was going to give us a son. Please read. And that son was given to mankind. And that son was mighty God.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Now, if somebody wants to preach in this one word, it will take 7 years or 7 days. But my point is here, only I'm going to say, this child was born, this son was given. Who was this son? It says he will be king. He will be ruling. And so he was not an ordinary son. He was mighty God. And many people like Jehovah's Witnesses and other people, they do not believe that Jesus Christ is mighty God. They believe Jesus Christ a God, or Jesus Christ is the angel or something like that. But the Bible is teaching, even the God says, I'm going to give my son, but that son is God. And so God came to this world, and that's why we said God is with us. That means Emmanuel. And if you read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, please read.
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
Now this is a mystery. How God came into this world, this is a mystery. And many people do not know the mystery. That's why people are not having understanding. Even the Trinity is a mystery. Trinity was not revealed to the Old Testament people. Trinity only was revealed by Christ. And then it was revealed by Paul and other apostles. And so this is the mystery, that how can God come from heaven into this world? I heard there was when somebody made a song. Hey God, can you take a form of man and come down so you would know how we are suffering in this world? I thought, how foolish. He doesn't know. God already came down to this world, and he had the feelings of our feelings, and he learned in this world a suffering and everything. And the word of God says, because of suffering and because of he giving his life for mankind, God made him or his name above all name. Please read in Philippians chapter 2, starting from verse 6.
Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and of things under the earth.
Can you imagine here he's saying, Jesus Christ is God himself, means second person of Godhead, but he decided to come down and to give his life for a mankind. And many people do not know this, that Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. And we were not even created, and the word of God says we were in the mind of God, in the heart of God. And so Jesus Christ came into this world so we would know who God is, and we will worship him, and we will be following God, because no one knew God. As I said a few minutes ago, people are thinking that God talked to Moses and Abraham saw God. That was not the God the Father. Read the St. John chapter 1, verse 18. Here he says, no man has seen God any time. And when no one has seen God any time,
no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
Now, if this verse is true, no man hath seen God any time until his Son revealed him. That's why I can boldly say any prophet or anyone in the Old Testament before Christ, they never saw God, and they did not have any clue who God is. If you remember Moses, when God appeared to him, and the Moses said, tell me your name. What did he say? I am that I am. Means I am ever present God. And there is none like him. When Jesus Christ came, so many times he says, I am. And you can say whole day who Jesus is. So our God is always there. But in this scripture it says no one knew who God was. Jesus Christ came and start talking about his Father. And then he says, my Father and I, we are all one. People start thinking this is blasphemy. And that's why they try to kill him. So Jesus Christ is the only one revealed us heaven, angels, God, and what is in the heaven. And that's why he says in St. John chapter 14, when he was going, he said, don't your heart be troubling, because I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions already. So then why is going and preparing a place? Because he said, you are special. The church is called the bride of Christ. So he wanted to have a special place for the bride. And so he said, I'll prepare a place for you, and then I'll come and then I'll take you with me, and then you will be with me forever. That is the promise. And that's the reason Jesus Christ came. And in this verse he said, when Jesus Christ came, he became like a servant. But he says, I'm going to come down. I'm going to give my life. And that's why the name Jesus, nobody knew before. We will be learning more about Jesus in the time of Christmas. But when he said, what he said, angel said to Mary as well as Joseph, his name should be what? Jesus. That means a savior. So Jesus Christ came to save mankind. And he gave his life, he said, he took the form of man, but not an ordinary man, a servant. And he died on the cross of Calvary. That's why this name, Jesus' name, became the greatest name in the universe. And that's why he says every person will be bowing down their head to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the God. He is Almighty God. He is the second person of Godhead. St. John chapter 1 verse 14, what we read? That word became flesh and dwelt among us. And what we saw, please read.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Who was this child, or who was this person came into this flesh? He says he came as a God. The fullness of God. If somebody wants to see God, they have to see Jesus. Do you know that his disciples said, please show us the Father. What did he say? If you have seen me, you have seen my Father. So the Jesus Christ and Father, they are all one. Means not only looking as Father, but they have all the nature and power and wisdom and everything. What the God the Father has, the God the Son has. So everything fullness in Jesus Christ. Read this Colossians chapter 2 verse 9.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
In him, whom? Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, came into this world. And they said, in him there was a fullness of Godhead bodily living in him. That means if you see Jesus, you can see God. Whatever God is, Jesus is. And so many people do not want to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God or Jesus Christ is God. They just do not know who God is. St. Paul, he went to this heathen place and those people are worshipping their God and idols and everything. He said, you know what? You are worshipping God which you don't know. But I know the God I worship. And he introduced them Jesus Christ. So the same way these people are Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists, those people are worshipping their God without knowing. Because the word of God says nobody has seen God. So what they have done, whatever they see, they met God. They want God, they can see the God, then they can believe. But what our Bible says, the person, we should not walking by what? Sight, looking at, but we walk by faith. That is the Christian life. Our Christian life is built on faith. So here we saw Jesus Christ or the Word of God is God. Now we have to see what God says about his Son. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. Book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8.
But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom.
Father is saying to Son, and how he is addressing him, O God. That means if the Father says to Son, you are God, that means we should be saying the same thing. If God says my Son is God, then why we cannot say he is God? God says my Son is God. Not only that, he says he is King, and his kingdom for everlasting to everlasting. So, Father says to his Son, he is God. Not only that, if you read verse 10, he says, O Lord means he says Lord in the verse 10, and he says God in verse 8. Please read verse 10.
And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands.
Now he says, thou Lord, means he's saying to his son, in verse 8, you're God. Verse 10, he says, you're Lord. And here he says, you have created everything. He is the creator, and he is God. So our Heavenly Father introducing us to his son, that he says he is God. So I have no doubt that Jesus Christ is God. He is the Son of God, and he is equal unto God. Son says to us, pray to God, or he says, my God and my Lord. And Father says, he is Lord and he is God. So both of them address to each other like a God and Lord. And so we should know that Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God, but he is God himself. And so if you remember the story about Thomas the doubter, you remember what happened to him? When Jesus Christ came and appeared to his disciple, showed his hand, showed his feet, and ate with them and talked with them and proved to them that he is God, and all the doors and windows were closed, and those people start thinking he's some kind of a spirit. But he said, give me something to eat, and he ate, and he proved it to them that I am the same Jesus in bodily form. Now I look like God. They testified to Thomas, we saw Jesus, and the doors and windows were closed, and he came in and he sat with us and he talked to us and we ate with him. And they believe he is the Son of God, but we never saw him coming to the door closed and windows closed. So that has to be like a spirit. The God is spirit, Jesus Christ says. So now Jesus Christ also, in the beginning, he was in the spirit form. We already studied God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God. They were all in the spirit. And we studied from the book of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, the Spirit is one, the Lord is one, and the God is one. And then we learned that the Spirit of God was hovering, and that the Spirit of God is saying, let us make a man. And then we learn, let us means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They were all present there, and they were creating the universe. So from that we know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are from the beginning, and Son is God also. And so now Jesus Christ talked to the other people, Sadducees and Pharisees, that I am a Son of God, and they didn't want to believe. But when Jesus Christ appeared to these disciples, they believed him. He is a Son of God, or he is God. But Thomas says, I'm not going to believe. I have to put my finger in his hand, and I have to take my hand and put it in his side. Then I will believe that he is alive. And 1 week later, Jesus Christ comes. The doors and windows still closed. And Thomas is sitting there. Jesus Christ comes, and what he says? Thomas, come here. Bring your hand here. And check my hand. Put your hand on my side. What did he say? He says, you're my Lord and you're my God. And what did he do? He worshipped him. He worshipped him like his God. So from that we know, as soon as the person believes Jesus Christ, he is Lord and he is God, what happens? That person is born again. If you don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you will never get saved. If you don't believe Jesus Christ is God, you will never get saved. If you don't believe Jesus Christ is Lord, you will never get saved. Because you have to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not only that, some people will teach you, especially Muslims, they will say Jesus never died on the cross. They took him down and they put somebody and Jesus Christ disappeared. That is not the Bible teaches. Bible says Jesus Christ came to die for mankind. He was dead and he was buried and he was resurrected. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, what he says? He says, I was dead, now I'm alive forevermore. So Jesus Christ didn't say, I didn't die. He died and rose again. If Jesus didn't die, then your death penalty will be still hanging on you. So he took your death penalty, so you don't have to die. He says, I am the resurrection, and what? I am the life. And if you believe in me, you will never die. People start thinking, is it true? If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will never die? Yes. Somebody would say, thousands of years passed. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and hundreds of people died and all the believers died. How can Jesus Christ say, if you believe in me, you will never die? And if you die, I will raise you up. So how it happened and how it is possible? Do you know? If Jesus Christ comes today, just now, what is going to happen? Our bodies are going to transform. Dead in Christ will rise first, and then who we are alive Christians, born-again Christians, they are going to transform. This is recorded in a book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You have to read that verses 13 to 18. So the point I'm making, Jesus Christ was not lying. Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. When Jesus says, I am the truth, and when he says, if you believe in me, you will never die. The death penalty already taken on the cross. When Jesus Christ comes, we will be transformed. And the dead in Christ will rise. That means we will never die if Jesus Christ comes today. Or Jesus Christ comes right now. We don't have to die. So our death penalty is taken by Jesus Christ. That's why every believer has to believe it, that Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected. If you don't have that kind of faith, you will never get saved. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, and start reading from verse 9 and 10.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Now what he's trying to say, if you believe, if you confess, means you agree and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God. He died for me. If you believe that, then, and you have to just not head knowledge, you have to believe in your heart. Your heart has to be convinced that Jesus is Lord. But if you do not believe that, you cannot get saved. Because he said you have to believe in your heart. And then he said God has raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ came here, he died, and God raised him. If you have that kind of faith, then you will be raised. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and start reading from verse 9, 10, and 11.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
See what he's trying to say? If God the Father raised the God the Son from the grave, if you have the same Spirit like Jesus had, then you will be resurrected. Now somebody will say, I don't know what Jesus had. But Jesus was called the Son of God. So he had his own Spirit. If you receive the Spirit of Christ, then you become a Christian. And how you receive the Spirit of Christ? When you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We already learned, St. John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, as many as believed in him, who? Jesus Christ. To them God gives the authority, power to be called the sons of God. So once you are born again, child of God, you are a child of God. If you believe Jesus Christ is Son of God, and then God says, okay, now you are a child of God. And then what happens? He promises in book of Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, if he says, I will take my son's spirit and give it to you so you could call me Abba Father. Please read. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6.
And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba Father.
What is it trying to say? Because you are sons. How you became son? Because we received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the time we became son. He said, now you are the children of God. I'm taking my son's spirit and giving to you. So you can call yourself a Christian or yourself a child of God. And my son calls me Abba, you can call me Abba too. So God gives his son's spirit to you. When? When you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you believe that God raised him from the grave and he is a living God. Once you believe that, you are a born again child of God. That's what happened to the Thomas. He believed if the doors are closed and windows are closed, and if Jesus Christ could come, and I was talking last week and he was not there, and now he comes and says, hey Thomas, come here. So he already knew what I said. Last week I said to those people, nobody in between went to Christ and told this my story, but he came and he talked to me and he said, Thomas, don't be unbeliever. That has to be God. And that's why he worshipped him, and he said, you are my God, you are my Lord, and he worshipped him. So from that we know, if you believe Jesus Christ, that God sent him, that was his son, but he was God himself. God came to this world seeking for you and for me. He, as the Son of God, he died on the cross of Calvary, and he rose again. And the word of God says, if you believe that, then you will be saved. So many people thinking, you know what? I believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't care what other world is doing. Each and every person has the responsibility to tell others what you receive, what you got, you tell others. All the disciples were saying, hey, we saw Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He's our God. He came to us. He even breathed on us. We filled with his spirit. We are belong to him. He said, no, I don't care. I don't believe that. But that was their chance to tell somebody. What the word of God says. How the people are going to listen about Jesus Christ. How they're going to get saved. Go to the book of Romans. You are in the Romans chapter 10. Start reading from verse 13.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Now here is saying, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will get saved. Means you will have eternal life. You are not going to die and go to hell because you believe that God the Father sent the God the Son to die on the cross of Calvary for my sin. So now his Son has power to give me life. Read the verse 14.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
So now here is saying, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the whole world dying without God and without Christ, it is our duty to tell them. Tell them and preach them and talk to them about Jesus Christ. Christianity is not like a secret thing. Just like a Hindu people telling you, you want to do yoga? Okay, I'll give you some mantra. Don't tell anybody. It's a secret. And they're telling everybody secret things and telling to worship their God. Our God is not secret. Our God is openly came, openly died for the mankind, openly was resurrected, and openly went to heaven. Everybody saw him going. So here the word of God is saying, you have to tell somebody. what God is doing in your life. Keep on reading.
And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and to bring glad tidings of good things.
See what he's saying here? How can they preach without they sent? That means you should be sent by God. You should be anointed. You should be having calling. You should be serving the Lord. Then you can tell somebody. Here the people go to Bible school, take a degree. They are not even born again. And they come out and put the resume in the computer. I have a degree and I want to serve. Some men will see it and call him and give him a job. And he might be not saved. He might be not born again. And he get a salary. And that's why people go into some Bible school, because it's easy to learn, easy to study. There is no mathematics, there is no biology and this and that, very hard subject. Just to learn about Bible, only one book. And people go and learn to get an easy job. But here is that you have to be sent by God. You have to have calling to go. And then you go and tell somebody what God has done for you. Keep on reading verse 17.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
So how the faith will come? Faith comes by hearing. It didn't say hearing. Hearing and hearing the word of God. Somebody says, oh, I read the Bible. How many times? Oh, I read the Bible, whole Bible in one time. And that's it. It doesn't mean because you read the Bible, it's not a story book. You read the Bible every day. I heard some people, they read the Bible 500 times on their knees. They never said, I read the Bible 500 times, I'm tired. I don't want to read it. The more you read the Bible, the more you learn, and the more you understand, and more your faith is going to grow, and more you will be like God. That's why the Word of God can transform you. Jesus Christ said to Thomas, you know, Thomas, because you saw me, you say, I believe you. But there are people, and there will be people, they never saw me, but they will believe me. They will be more blessed than you. Please read that in St. John chapter 20, verse 29.
Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed.
Who are the blessed ones? We are the blessed one. We didn't see by face to face, but we believe. How did you start believing? We read the Bible, some messenger came, some good news came, and we believed it, we trusted, we start reading about it, and our faith start developing. And Jesus Christ said, you are blessed. You didn't see me. Thomas saw me, and he believed. But you didn't see me, but you still believe me. That's why our faith or our life is blessed. Bible says we should be walking by faith, not by sight. That's why our Christianity is based on the Word of God. Okay, we go to the St. John. You are in the book of John. St. John chapter 1, and start from verse 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Now here is saying, the Word of God was with God, and that Word was God, and that Word was creating everything. And he says, whatever you see, or you don't, some of the things you cannot even see, but you feel, everything was created by Jesus Christ, or the by Son of God. And so Jesus Christ is not only the Word of God, not only he is from the beginning, he is God, but he is a creator. When somebody says, now who is God? Tell them, all the universe you see, all the things you see, that was created by someone, that is God. If somebody create a mankind from the dust, then we know that person is a creator. But I never saw in my life, and you will never read it or never learn, that any scientist or any person took a dust, even that they learned that God made the man from the dust. Now they know whatever the mankind has in their body, there are same chemicals or same things in the dust. They prove it. But not a single person can make a mankind from the dust. Now they are making people from your cells and duplicate the person. God made everything from the nothing. That's why we call him a creator, a God, or a father. So Jesus Christ is the creator. And book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2, please read.
Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
God not only spoke to us through Son, but through him, he said he created whole universe, whole world. That means God was speaking and everything was happening. In Genesis, if you read first three chapters, everything was God created. He said, he said, he said. So that means God says, I gave the authority to my Son and he has created everything. Not only he create everything, but he keeps and holding and controlling everything. That's God. Let's read this verse 3. Hebrews 1:3.
Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Now there are so many subjects in this chapter. But only thing I'm trying to tell you, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God, he's the creator, and he created everything. And God says, this Son, this God, has power to control everything. We don't have to worry about anything, because as long as our God is alive, Jesus Christ is controlling everything. We don't have to worry about the climate changing. All the people are crazy. They say the man made climate bad. Do you know our God is controlling everything? He controls the air, he controls the water, he controls everything. And he knows how to purify the water, he knows how to purify air, he can do it. And the man thinking we can do everything. People are having problem. They are talking about, let's purify the air. Every year, California, Washington, and some other states, fire comes. How much fire? Hundreds and hundreds of houses and trees burns, and how much carbon is produced? Thousands of, trees are burning. Mankind doesn't know how to control. And then they have to pour the more chemical to destroy it. And so, you talking about climate changing, we can fix it. This is all gimmick. People cannot control the climate. They are saying, you know, the cows, they are producing so much gas. Kill all the cows. We don't need the cows. We don't need the milk. Milk is bad for you. Meat is bad for you. Just destroy and we'll be happy. Do you know Hindu people? They say cow is their God. You know why they said cow is God? Because cow gives milk. Cow gives bulls. They can do farming. And so the people were killing the cows. They said, hey, if you kill the cows, we would not have bulls. We would not have milk. So make the cow a God. So the point I'm making, people are thinking we can change the climate. We will never be able to change the climate. When they say too much hot, God can make too much cold. They say, oh, now this is something else. If you say too much cold or too much hot, you cannot control. You cannot control rain. You cannot control snow. You cannot control anything. So who is doing this? God is controlling. God has everything under control. Without God, nobody can do it. Let's go to the book of, let's read the verse 10.
And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands.
God lays the foundation, and Everything is in his hand. He created. God controls everything. Let's read Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. God not only creating everything, but he's controlling. He knows how to keep everything properly. Please read.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
See, by him, everything is controlled. He's the one holding everything in his palm of his hand, or in his hand. Everything controlled. God is not sitting there and sweating, oh wow, this planet is going to move, some sun is not going to shine today, or rain is too much, I don't know what to do, how to control. God is not sitting and crying there. God is God. He knows how to control everything. So we have to put our life in the hand of God. Do you know who are the people are worried about the climate change? Those are the people who do not go to church. Those are the people who do not pray. Those are the people who do not read the Bible. And those are the people worried about climate changing. But the people who are believers, they don't worry. God is in control. God can do everything. You just pray. You pray and the rain comes. You pray, sunshine comes. You pray, people, dead people get raised. God can do anything. God is controlling everything. When you start praying, things will start happening. But if you start saying, we can change it. We can change the climate. We can change everything. You cannot change anything. And so we have to trust in God. Okay, here we studied, our God is a creator. Now when he comes to this earth, then Jesus Christ says, if you have seen me, you have seen God. What does it mean? He is the image of God. Let's go to the Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. You are in Colossians.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?
Who is Jesus Christ is the image of God. You don't see, our God is not visible to our naked eye. Because Jesus Christ said, God is spirit. If God is spirit, can you see spirit? No. So when God is spirit, but he said Jesus Christ took the form of man and now he became visible. Now he says, you don't see invisible God, but you see Jesus Christ is a visible and he is the image of God. Now let's read the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3.
Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Who is he? He's a brightness of his glory and express image of his person. That's Jesus. When he came, he says he is exactly like his father, express image of Almighty God. So we have to believe when Jesus Christ came into this world, he was not an ordinary man, the people are thinking. He is the express image of God. Now Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, please read.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
In him who? In Christ, in Jesus, dwelt all the fullness of Godhead bodily. That means Jesus Christ is a complete express image of Father or God. That's why we call him God. So the Jesus Christ is the image of God. He is God himself and he came into this world. And when people saw him, they start saying, he is God. We said a few minutes ago, what the Thomas says, you are Lord and you are God, and he worshipped him. But the devil doesn't want you to know God. The devil doesn't want you to worship God. Just read the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, please.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
See what he's saying? The God of this world had blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Who? The devil is blinding, not your eyes, your mind. Whose mind? The people who do not believe in God, or people who do not know God. That means the whole world, the devil is coming and saying, you know what? Don't believe Jesus. Don't believe he's not a real God. He's not God. Because what he's trying to say, why he's doing this, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What is he doing? He doesn't want you to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God, and he is so powerful, he's completely God. The devil doesn't want you to know this. And that's why people are blinded, and they are saying Jesus is not God. And if you say Jesus is God, they say this is blasphemy. Jewish people still, they are blinded. They are not saying Jesus is God. They are not saying Jesus is Son of God. And they just say God, God. Then the word of God says if you do not understand who Jesus is, if you do not understand he is the Son of God, he is God, then you will not understand who God is. So the point I'm making here, the devil does not want you to know God. And that's why when the devil says he is not God, what does it mean? He's a liar. When he says he is not God, what does that mean? That means he is God. When devil says something, he lies, he says, you're not going to be healed. Then what do you say? That means I'm going to be healed. He says Jesus is not the Savior. That means he is the Savior. Whatever the devil tells you, he's a liar, and he is a lies from the beginning. That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the truth, and devil is the liar. So now what you learn up to now, our subject is, who is Jesus? So we learn Jesus is from eternity. He is eternal. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And then we learn, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word of God. And we learn that Word of God, God sent to this world to let the people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says, he sent the Word, and he said, my Word will not come to me a void or empty-handed. And Jesus Christ, when he was dying on the cross, what he said? It is finished. Whatever Father told me to do, I did it. And so the Word of God is the Jesus Christ. So who is Jesus? He is the Word of God. Then we learn Jesus Christ is God himself. And we gave the Bible scriptures. So Jesus is God. Then what we learn? Jesus Christ is not only God, but he is a creator. And because he is a creator, and Jesus created everything, so he has to be God. And then we learn that when he came to this world, St. John chapter 1 verse 18, he says, no one knew who God was, but his Son, who was in the bosom of his Father, he came and revealed to mankind who God is. And then we learn Jesus Christ is the express image of God. So who is Jesus? Jesus is mighty God. People do not know who Jesus is. If you ask them, who is Jesus? Oh, he's a religious man. Who is Jesus? Oh, he is a good teacher. Who is Jesus? Oh, he is just a holy man. Who is Jesus? He's the prophet. We are going to learn all of these phrases people use. But the point I'm making, if somebody starts saying this, those people do not know what they're talking about. If somebody asks you, who are you? We are going to say, we are the servant of God. We believe Jesus Christ as my Lord. And tell about Jesus Christ what you know about Jesus Christ. You take one little opportunity to talk to somebody and tell them whole story about Jesus Christ. You go to supermarket, go anywhere, you tell people about Jesus Christ. We just heard a few minutes ago. How can they know without a preacher? How can people know who Jesus is? So each and every person should have the responsibility. If I know who Jesus is, I'm not going to keep quiet. I am talking about Jesus since 1956, and I'm not tired, and I'm keep on talking. So we finish up to now. Jesus is the Creator, and Jesus is God, and Jesus is the express image of His Father. The time is not permitting. Next week, God willing, we are going to learn Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I will give you all the proofs from the Word of God. How can we believe that He is the Son of God? Shall we rise? Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You. Thank You for giving us grace to believe in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who is God, who is our Savior, who is our Creator, and who has given us eternal life. There is none like Jesus. We trust in You, Lord Jesus. We cannot compare Jesus with anyone. That's why we want to tell the whole world who Jesus is. And let the people know that Jesus Christ is not an ordinary man, but He is God. And so we want to let the people know Jesus Christ has come into this world. The salvation has come into this world, but people did not receive Him. As many as received Jesus Christ, to them You have given the authority and power to be called the sons of God. We are the children of God. And Lord, Your word says we don't know what we're going to be, but we know only one thing. When Jesus Christ comes, we will be just like Him. So give us that hope, each and every one. We are not ordinary people. We are the children of God. We commit ourselves into Your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.